AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM and from time to time rebroadcast on 610 AM as well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank all of you for tuning in, and I ask that you go to your telephone, invite your family members and friends to tune into 860 AM right now if they live in Philadelphia and the tri-state area, which is New Jersey and Northern Delaware. And if they're anywhere in the world or anywhere in the USA, they can log on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the front page to the Listen Live link. And when you go there after today's broadcast, check out some of those links because you'll be very pleased with some of the things that are happening here in the USA to make things better for the American people. Before we get started, I'm asking all of you to mark your calendar for the evening of April the 29th. We're going to have a very special guest on that day. Someone you hear very often on this broadcast is going to be in Philadelphia. And with him, we will have the American-made movie shown at the Ritz Theater. That's at 214 Walnut Street in historic Philadelphia. And right after the movie, we're going to go up a half a block to the Cultural Center building where we're going to have some little snacks and refreshments to welcome Mark and have some of you have an opportunity to speak with him. Mark, we are looking for April the 29th, and I know that you're going to be in Philadelphia. In the afternoon, we'll be touring around to some of the historic sites, and Mark can have an opportunity to meet some of the people that will come out from some of our trade schools and few elected officials and things like that. It's going to be a good day, a happy time. So, Mark, we're looking forward to your visit, and it's not that far away. April 29th is, woo, before you know it.
Yes, good morning, guys. Good morning, listeners. And, Mike, very excited to meet you guys and the community there. And, you know, just to go to Philadelphia where it all started, you know, very, very excited. And time's coming up quick.
You know, our studio is just blocks away from the Liberty Bell Independence Mall. We're going to be at the Visitor Center. They'll be waiting there already, have it on their calendar to have some welcome for us. And we're going to go to the Constitution Center. You'll be able to see the beautiful show they have there and the display of all the signers of the Constitution. We're going to do some press shots. It's going to be a very happy event. And I must say, I'm very happy, too, that Rich Logis will be in town with us. Henry will be there. Larkin's going to be there. It's going to be a great, great time. I can't wait. Rich, how are you doing?
Guys, good morning. Mark, looking forward to seeing you again as well. Everything, Michael, is great. It's great down in sunny South Florida here. Welcoming again, Larkin, being down here. I wanted to let you know, Michael, without giving it away as a preview, I'm continuing to work on some real special guests for the upcoming weeks. So we'll look to schedule them before the 29th, and if not afterwards. But yeah, very much looking forward to coming up. I'm ready. I got my Made in America, my American Made shirt, Mark. that you sent us, and you know we're gonna go and talk about these very, very boring and mundane things like the Constitution and American Made. What's interesting is that the American Made movement, while I don't want to say in its infancy, Michael, there's a sort of renaissance to this, and there are every day if you really sift through all of the mostly mindless news stories that we get in major media, you find real solid nuggets. And if you look enough on a weekly basis, guys, I'm going to tell you, American Made makes its way into news. You just have to know how to look for it. So it's there. So it is getting sexier by the month. It is. And Mark, that's you're at the forefront of that sexiness, Mark. So you know, we're very much looking forward to having you up. And I have no doubt, Michael, the turnout will be great. Why? Because people are paying more attention to this. People now are more and more realizing over the years that all of these local and national economic issues are very much tied into Made in America and very much tied into business creation, which in turn creates jobs.
You know, when Mark comes up, we're going to have him meet with some of the tourists even at the Constitution Center and at the Visitor Center. So we can talk with people that we really don't know, but people who will also give us some opinions that we should share. And by the way, the long-range forecast for jobs in America is getting better. It's the type of jobs that is concerning. From all the reports I've been reading and the long-range forecast on jobs, we're getting more jobs and we're getting a lot of service-oriented jobs. And believe it or not, even manufacturing is starting to make its way up on the reports. The new reports indicate that there's a positive increase in jobs in manufacturing, construction, and for small businesses. That's very good news, because before it was only education, health, and so forth and so on. Now we're going up the ladder a little further, which is going to help us in the long run, because how can we have a country where we don't make anything? You know, as I was talking with someone regarding the report on jobs, I said I'd like to see just one federal department directing all of its efforts to present a job report that we can understand at least once a month. Give us the full treatment. If you look on the debt clock, you'll notice that as per certain individuals' requests, they have made adjustments on that clock. And when I did speak with them, they didn't want to do it, you know, originally, but then they did come around and they made some of the adjustments. But the biggest problem we are suffering from is the fact that 10,000 baby boomers retire every day. That's 365 days a year. It doesn't sound like a lot of people when you think of it as every state. What would that total out to be? It's not that many people per state walking in and or calling to retire. But it is a drain, a major drain on the job skill base. People who have been in those jobs 30 and 35 years, maybe some new technology has taken portions of those jobs away, but we still need the skilled labor. And I must say also that more and more schools are talking about going out and saying to the parents, do you want us to restore vocational education programs in the schools? And of course, most of the parents are saying yes. How are we going to do it? The biggest problem we have, Mark, is teachers. How do we get teachers back into the classroom? They have to be brought into the classroom, get into that whole classroom scene. Many of them are not certified to be in the classroom as a regular English or arithmetic teacher would be, but they have to get into the classrooms because they have an experience behind them. How have you been finding that issue?
Yeah, Mike, you know, we're always, fighting that skilled worker shortage. And it's funny, just Monday we had Lincoln Tech call, which is a big welding school based out of Ohio, and they had somebody just graduating that was within 40 miles of my footprint of General Welding. So it was interesting, we interviewed him, and I didn't get a chance to meet him, but my gentleman on second shift did. And he said that, you know, what was nice was he's fairly trained now. We can get this employee and then, you know, get him aboard. We're going to hire him May 1st, and we're going to get him aboard and then teach him and train him for what we need. But at least he's got the fundamentals. He knows how to weld. He knows how to hold the torch. So it was nice to see. But about a month ago, I met with Alfred Tech, a technical school within probably 75 miles of us, Mike. And these teachers had a great talk. I took two of my top guys. We met the two teachers down there of four. And we had about a four-hour talk. And, you know, at the end of the talk, we were talking about kids and how they need to, you know, the schools don't have it no more. Like in the regular high schools don't have the metal shops and wood shops. So they're getting a lot of these kids that are green, but training them And then, you know, at the end of the day, he said right before we left, he said, Mark, how do we help Mark Andel keep his business open? Because without you, Mark, we don't need to produce welders. You know, so it was a great, you know, I was impressed that they grab a hold of what's going on. They know the shortage, but these teachers are worried and concerned for their own jobs because they need factories, they need manufacturing to grow. And I think we're seeing it, Mike, and I hope everybody just keeps jumping on board. We need to react quick because the average age is between 55 and 60 of the worker that's out there. And like you said, once you lose this generation, such a gap.
And that's where this 10,000 people a day, that's supposed to remain at the same forecast of 10,000 a day for the next 15 years. So, I mean, we may really have to get on this thing. And it's happening at the right time. People are discouraged because they don't have enough jobs to go to. People who have energy and want to be employed don't want to hear that, well, we're overwhelmed with bookkeepers, or we're overwhelmed with lawyers, or we're overwhelmed with whatever. You should be in something else. Well, then to do that, you have to go to a training program. My whole issue is, why haven't we spoken up over the years and made sure that those programs never left our schools? There's a void somewhere. It just didn't happen in one state. It happened across most of the United States. It should be mandated that vocational education programs are offered to 50% of the students in every school district, in every school possible.
Hey, Mike, could I talk about an article here I've got? Pretty interesting. Is Larkin on?
No, he's on travel today.
Well, Larkin, when he did come to Buffalo, he came to Batavia. Batavia is about 50 miles from Buffalo. Well, Batavia has a shoemaker that's been there for years, P.W. Minor. They've made shoes there forever. Well, last year they decided to move part of their business, the new owner, over to China. But this article, and I'll just read the first paragraph, it says Batavia shoemaker P.W. Minor, which was on the verge of shutting down last July, is pledging to add 100 new jobs to its Genesee County factory by bringing back production work now done in China. So last year they were bought out, the new owners moved part of their plant to China. Now they're closing that plant in China and investing about $7 million in a factory here. So it was awesome to hear that story, and I'll send you that story, Mike, so you can post it, but very, very neat.
You know, that's exactly what it is. In fact, when you go around, Mark, and you ask some of the store owners, they say, I would be overjoyed to feature more American made if I could get my hands on it. The biggest problem America has suffered from for a long, long time is with so many of these new mega department stores coming around, the focus has been going to that store, grabbing your cart, roaming all around, having everything available to you at one stop. And it really hurt the local stores very badly. They weren't able to flourish. Anyone who's in business listening right now, the spending power in local stores has really been going down. People look for everything possible at the cheapest price, and so they go to the mega store figuring, well, if I go in there and I have 10 stores available to me, I'll be saving gas, parking issues, the whole deal. But that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to take people's ideas and turn them to going to the local stores, because the mega stores are fine, but share your spending power with the local stores, who really are the bread and butter of over 60 million American workers. And that's the bottom line. Looking for the cheapest thing is wonderful, but how long can that last? The cheapest thing is coming from somewhere overseas. It's the cheapest, but when you get it here and you look at it at the store, the price is not really reflecting the fact that it's the cheapest product. And it could be made here in the USA, but we need those skilled jobs back, and we need people interested in making sure that America flourishes as number one.
Well, that's all, Michael. That's the, you know, the good news. The good news overall is that economically, we are, for all of our many, many problems and flaws, we still are the top. The problem, though, top economy. The problem, though, Michael, is that that way of thinking, I think, is actually one of the key things that helped to get us where we're at, because being very good or even great at something is not a reason to take the foot off the gas, right? If you think about anything, I mean, if you think about sports, you know, a team that's really a great team, they're not taking time off when it gets to the playoffs. They're good and they're trying to get better. So what I'm saying is, to say that we're good doesn't mean and shouldn't mean that we're good enough. And you just pointed it out. We had decades of cheaply made, poor quality, but easy to access on virtually every level of pay. So when you have that combination, that's exactly what it is that got us to the point that were one of the reasons that got us here. When you get cheaply made stuff, there was not a concern about where it was made. The larger concern and the larger selling point was made cheap, I can replace it. Yeah, it's poor quality, but I can replace it. And I don't, my family doesn't make a lot of money, but you know what, Mark? I can still buy shoes for $12, $20. And, right, Michael, or I could buy shirts, or we talk about the toaster on this show. Good news is this. Thanks to Mike Sessions at Gopher USA, we got a toaster. Well, that toaster's going to, the American-made toaster's going to cost some bucks. But, Mark, I tell you what, you know this better than any of us. You give us something cheap and crappy, and that thing's getting replaced way sooner on average than something that's more and higher quality. See, that's what's deceiving about it, right, Mark? It looks like it's more until you go through the stages of replacement and realize with the aggravation coupled with all the increase in cost, was it really that much cheaper? And I think in a lot of cases you find it isn't.
And in the process, look how many people lost their jobs and their livelihoods.
And that's what I don't think they kept an eye on their country. I mean, really, government, to me, we've got hobbyists there. You know, they didn't take this serious. This is the United States of America, right? I mean, right now I do. I just don't think they take it as a full-time job. What they need to do is lead and really look at this. Like, Rich, what you're saying, a quality product, even our garden hose is a Goodyear garden hose. You buy one of them, yes, $50, but it's going to last you 10 years. It's lighter, it coils, it doesn't kink. But the education, it was lost somewhere where we don't pass things on to our children. We kind of, it's the throwaway world. We got to bring that back and lead with quality. But I think it has to be taught, you know, in the culture. Somehow we lost that, just buy more. But no, buy one quality item. There's other countries that make quality items. Rich, I think you'd agree. You know, we don't disagree with that, but we've got to really think about our own country and how many people are connected to that product. And that's what we keep doing. We're doing that today. We're educating people, raising awareness. You know, what actually makes this country run? You know, by buying a product, how do you really affect not just a retail store, but you want to keep that money here.
You know, you're right, Mark. And what makes this very unfortunate is, as time went on, this was done by design. Merchandisers did this so that they could control things. Have you noticed in the last 15 years, everything that was made in America is now made elsewhere? Some of those products are on the shelf, and they're almost the same price. Some of the American-made stuff is still cheaper than the foreign stuff. But they've taken so much of the American stuff away that you're clamoring for whatever you can get in that product that you need at that time. You don't even look at the label. And that's where things have changed with broadcasts like ours and people in different states promoting what we are doing here and asking people. Our efforts are asking people to support American workers, and that's representing small, large businesses, non-union, union, and the self-employed. We don't discriminate against anybody. We want everybody to have a job. We want those job skills restored. We want our young people to know who they are by the time they're in seventh grade and where they want to go so that they have a future. Can you imagine young people saying, well, I went to school, I was a B+ or a B- student or whatever, and then they graduate high school and they have no place to go. And there was never any consideration in the whole process of what they would like to be in the future. That's the thing that's discouraging about the American education system. But people on the top, like you said, people on the top have the idea, that as long as I'm taken care of in Washington, my chauffeur's there, my everything, my lunch is prepared for me, I go to the Capitol for my votes, they don't understand what's happening in the real world. I'd like to see all of those elected officials have to spend a month in various parts of the communities they represent, and then get on a show and say, my God, I had no idea, or it was exactly what I expected. What would you think they would have to say, Rich?
Well, first off, Michael, that let's be clear about something. And again, I've said it on air. It's not that I don't think elected officials ever it's not that I think they never devote time to this issue. I'm basing what I'm going to say on interviews and quotes and those kinds of things that I've read with elected officials, possible candidates for elected office. And when I listen to them talk about this, what I hear mostly is a lack of understanding about why all of this even happened. So if you're lacking understanding about why all of these economic and manufacturing issues occurred in the first place, it's really hard to present ideas to fix things when you don't really know what the hell it is you're trying to fix or what happened. So it's not Michael that all have no clue. I think our Congress's problem, which is on a national level, and it's not just now, and it's been consistent, is first and foremost, our federal government is obsessed with the rest of the world. I mean, we're not just into it. We're obsessed with it. And I'm not saying, guys, that we have no interest in world affairs. I have mentioned before on air things about the Middle East. That's what really foreign policy is about. It's not about anywhere else except the Middle East. Politicians aren't asked about their national foreign policy on Scandinavia or Australia. They're asked about the Middle East, which, of course, is in our news daily. And that's because we continue to stay in an area that we need to get the hell out of. So there's an obsession with that rest of the world. Now, there's also back home here, guys, a little bit of a different kind of what I would consider an obsession. And that obsession is more like a fart in the wind. It's basically could go one way or the other on a daily basis. And that's all dependent upon what the campaign donors of politicians want them to do. And in all of this, the voice of the voter has gotten drowned out. I'm not saying it's totally silent. It's not, but it's been totally drowned out. And that has happened, guys, because, well, first off, most people don't vote, as was evidenced by our election in 2014. So anything that's occurred with our voice, it's the same with America Made, Mark. We can't acquiesce to politicians. We've got to go as well as people who don't vote. We've got to work on strengthening what I really consider, guys, the true minority of this country. The true minority of America has got nothing to do with religion and culture and ethnicity and all that other crap. What it has to do with is basically who knows what the hell's going on. I mean, at the most simplest basic level, all of us know what's going on. I mean, we have real clear senses. We may not be experts. Mark, I'm still waiting for you to tell me how to figure out your health care. I'll wait for you. I'll wait till the 29th so you can describe to me in detail how your health care at your company works. Because you have no idea. No offense. You have no friggin' idea. Why? Because you're a business owner. What do we know about health care, right? I mean, I don't know anything about that. So what I'm saying, Michael, is that we are the ones who have, in part, allowed this to happen. But let's not obsess with the past. What's done is done with. We know what's happened because we have also the benefit of hindsight. We're all more interested in how to get a plan accelerated to really create business growth, which creates jobs. Government does not create jobs. Now, that doesn't mean government doesn't have a role in business and job creation, but the government is not the end-all, be-all at any level, state, local, or federal. They're not.
Now, Rich, I want to ask you something. If I went up to any of the candidates who are running for office for the president, a few of them have announced, and I said, sir or madam, could you let us know what percentage of the time of the House of Representatives and the Senate is used on helping create jobs for Americans? What would you think they would ask? Answer.
Most, if not one, would know, Michael. I mean, simple answer. You know, you'd get a politician's answer. Right?
I asked that question. And you know what the answer is? Well, our staff devotes, they have their hand on the pulse of the community. I'm mainly looking at nationwide concerns. Well, isn't a job for somebody a nationwide concern? I mean, I don't understand those kind of responses. And, you know, you can't even invite those people on radio shows because they don't want to be asked such questions, especially from people like you and I and Mark. They don't want to hear that.
Well, that requires, Michael, see, to answer those questions requires a commodity, what I call a commodity in our modern-day politics, which is honesty. I mean, Mark, if you ran for office, see, Mark, I've already got your campaign slogan. And the campaign slogan is this: vote for Mark Andel, can't get no worse.
There you go.
I mean, we're going to make the country better for our children. And strong and bold leadership. Man of the people. No, it's man of the people. I love humanity. It's the people I can't stand. No. Vote for Mark Andel. Can't get no worse. Vote for Mark Andel. Vote for Michael Bliosh. Can't fall off the floor. Yeah. You
know, that's right. That's right.
Makes sense.
You know, that's where the people have to take a good look at themselves. Did they really help to bring this about by not speaking up? Someone like myself, I mean, they hope that I'll go away at some point in time. But that's unfortunate. They should be helping people like all of us, including me and everyone else, to move this kind of a movement forward. Because after 30 years, a lot of the American people just didn't think about it until now. And when it hits home, that's when you start to really think about it. When you're still employed, everything is fine. When you're out of a job, that's when you really have the thoughts like, wow, how did this all happen? Where is this going to end? Then if you have children or grandchildren and you see them struggling, you don't like it either. So now that people are starting to speak up, and as I said earlier, when I go into the stores and I ask them, how much of your suppliers offer you American made, they say, well, it's not even something that we discuss because we just say we need flashlights, we need this, we need that, and that's the end of it. And they give me the buy list, and I go and buy. When you go to Mark Andel, you have to have 100% of everything American made. How many stores would be able to stand up to Mark's questioning? Did you ask this question? Did you ask that question? Mark wants a certification that it's all American made. And I honor that, Mark.
Well, you know, Mike and Rich, I want to tell you, I was, took a little Easter break with the family, but standing in line at this one business, I had one gentleman, you know, and I knew they were looking at my shirt. I love wearing it, you know, the Made in America. They're looking at it. They might have read the back because China's a long drive to work or whatever. So I see a couple guys eyeing me. And one guy comes out, you know, said, hey, where'd you get that shirt? I said, oh, Made in America, sir. Where's that? You know, right outside of Buffalo, and you know, we've got a few. Oh, could I get one? Yeah, he goes, I believe in that. You know, we need to do that more, and I'm not even union or nothing. We just need to build more products. And another guy, well, you know, America, you know, they all went overseas. It's mostly American companies that did it anyway. And then another guy comes over, goes, yeah, I like it, but you know, it's capitalism. And Rich, you would have loved this. I thought of you here because this was just me standing in line, and this guy, I said, where are you from? He said, Canada. He goes, yeah, it's capitalism that ruined the country. And you know, we got all this going over the start of a shirt. And one guy followed me through and, can I get a shirt? I said, sure. But, you know, just hearing that talk, Rich, what's your view on the capitalism comment?
Well, I here's what, Mark, I'll say to it, which you've helped me to clarify this over the last many, many months. You know, guys, a business is in business not only, and I do agree it shouldn't be the first reason for business, but a business isn't business to make money. Now, I don't, Mark, you don't, nothing, Michael, when Larkin, our listeners, who are business people, I know that we are not in business solely and only to make money, because that way of thinking creates a make money at any expense. And that is not the way that we operate a business. So we are in business to most basic capitalist statement, Mark, to make money, because making that money, growing our business is what does it, that is the impetus for expanding businesses and creating more jobs. I mean, Mark, right now I've got to say I don't think you'd be able to create more stores if financially and economically your business were losing money. I mean, I don't think you'd be able to do that. So there's nothing wrong with Made in America being good for business. I mean, look now, guys, Mark, you go to the shows and there's furniture and whatever else product is being made.
Yes.
The Made in America is like the most prominent part of the booth. It's like, well, what do you do? Yes. Well, what is it? Oh, I make shoes. I make garden hoses. I make this barbecue. Right, Mark? Like, you've got the barbecue sauce. I mean, heck, even American-made flags now. I've got people here at my condo getting American-made flags. So that's like the most prominent part of that movement. So it is good for business, you know. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that being, that's what our free market is supposed to be about. Now, our free market also has many, many flaws and challenges with it. We have companies and industries that get bailouts from taxpayers and a variety of things, which don't need to go into on a segue on, but we have our challenges with that as well. However, I'll point right to Patrice, who was on a few weeks ago with Larkin when she came on, excuse me. Now, she's in business. She's got a movement moving. She's got a movement going. But I'm going to tell you right now, guys, that movement ain't going to go that far if that business is not doing well financially. Now, maybe she's not going to be a trillionaire. And, you know, I wish that she were. If it happens for her, great. If it happens for any, for you, same for you, Mark, if you're flying around on weird jets and you're on your yacht, you know, and you're walking around swaving to boner because you're making money, I think that's great. I think that's one of the great things about our opportunities here. But she, just like me, and Mark, I would say for yourself, we can't grow and expand and present who we are, what we do, if our businesses are not solvent. So we've got to be in business to make money, but not at any expense. That was a really long answer to your question.
I like it. You know what, guys, Mike, Rich, I don't know if I mentioned you, but we celebrated, well, we didn't celebrate yet, but last Friday, April 3rd, 2010, I actually opened my store up, the first store, and this past Friday, April 3rd, was our 5-year anniversary date. We're not going to celebrate until May 16th, but 5 years, so 5 years ago, I come up with this wild idea, and we're in tough, tough times, closed two plants, laid off from 70 employees, went to 30 employees. And I took this chance out of business Ford dealership, shook the guy's hand, said, Jay, I want to rent this from you. What are you going to do? Open a Made in America store. Well, the world's full of crazy people, Mark. Go for it. Nobody had a clue what I was talking about. I didn't even have a clue. You know, but I opened. But to be 5 years later with a great, great family, great team behind me, we're opening our fifth store next week at another mall. We got three websites, a distribution center. You know, Rick, we're still not coming out of the ground. We still got to, you know, keep the lights on. It's much passion. It's still business. But we're up to 6,600 products supporting 450 American manufacturers. That's outstanding, really, starting with 50 products only 5 years ago. So the movement's on. It can be done. We're continuing to raise awareness. But I'm proud of my team and family for even 5 years. You know, I don't know where that time went, but we're still. And thanks to all the listeners, Mike, and your show, because it, as long as we stick together and keep raising awareness, I think we've got this thing rolling.
You know, you're absolutely right, Mark. And, you know, it's shows like this and many others that are promoting American Made that are bringing the attention back to the focus of the people that they have to do something to help one another. And you, if you could do it, you could go. That's encouragement for others to consider, well, maybe I should try it. Don't. waste your dreams. Give it a try. Go to a SCORE for some counseling. Go to somebody to mentor you along to see if that's really what you're going to be able to do or want to do. But don't give up, good listeners of this broadcast.
You know, there's so much to be said with Rich, the way you started hard, you know, with nothing. And, you know, I started with nothing. So don't let nobody tell you you can't do it. Start that business. Or Made in America Matters. You know, a lot of people don't talk about how many people, like we're helping 450 American privately owned manufacturers. I became close friends with a lot of them. These manufacturers have to hire because they're selling more, have to raise more people. They help the community more because they have to put on expansions, additions, and possibly bring in people that are actually going to live in apartments and use the, you know, the salons and the bars and the restaurants around town. People don't grab that whole spider web effect, and Mike and Rich, we've talked about that many times. But more education, I think. I want to turn those stores, my stores, more into education too. Really, really get these people involved and realize how they can vote with their dollar and make change. And
now, Mark, I want to ask you a question. If you had to do this all over again, what would you have done differently?
You know, that's funny. Mike and Rich, when I started, I did it just because the American guts and, you know, I'm going to do this. I closed two plants. I just did it as a statement, as I always said, for country soldier and American worker. But I wouldn't change a lot. I had no clue where I was going. I had no clue I'd become a retail destination. I still tell people we don't have a clue, but we got the right people on the bus. Where it's going, we're not sure. I wouldn't change too much. We were blessed with positive media attention. It was for the good of the good. I stayed focused. Lucky I wasn't 18. You know, we kind of took everything, and Sue signed me up for every interview there was. And I think it's rolling real good. I wouldn't change a lot. Just go with your gut feeling and just go. So many non-believers along the way, I kind of, you know, laughed at their comments because, you know, when you're older, and Rich, you know how many people bet against you and how many people bet against the idea. Just they're so positive about being negative, you know.
You're absolutely right.
You know, Mark, I got to say, on one hand, though, I do, even though people doubted it, and you know what? There's nothing abnormal. It's just, it's only to be human to wonder, am I really, should I really be doing this? And, you know, Mark, here's the thing. I know, look, I'm not putting down, I know I make jokes about business school. My wife has an MBA. My wife's from a different country. Someone said to me the other day, well, Rich, we're all immigrants. I said, no, I was born in New York. But, I was born there. But my wife's from a different country. She's a citizen. She has an MBA. She's more educated than I am, for God's sake. She has an MBA. I joke about it, and I'm not putting down. I'm a very pro-education person. But the flip side of this, Mark, I think you, like me, you have a PhD as well, right? Public high school diploma, I believe, or you might have the CPD, you know, the Catholic private high school diploma.
I went to the University of General Welding.
Okay, so you're mistake you, right? And you did what leaders in all walks of life do, right? You had cojones, and you decided to pursue something, not knowing if it would work, knowing that others were gonna doubt you, taking full responsibility for the success and failure. I heard you say a few minutes ago, I got a great team. Well, that's what a really great coach does. Excuse me. When the team wins, right? When the team wins, coach says players played great. Team loses, a true great coach, great leader says, I didn't call the right plays. I'm sorry for my guys. I'm proud of my guys, but I'm sorry for those guys. Just like the NCAAs that just passed. I always like watching that tournament because most of those guys, and the women, I guess, for that matter as well, right? Most of them are never going to play professionally. You know, they're playing for the love. I mean, they are really, for most of these guys, they're playing for the love of the game. You did it, Mark, for a love of country. And love of country is something that, you know, sometimes people view that as it's kind of hokey and that. Well, I say, well, why? You know, why is it the obsession that our elected officials have for the rest of the world? I would like that obsession replaced for things here. And again, I'm not saying it never occurs, but you decided, Mark, to not listen to external factors, even though you might have doubted it and wondered it. And, you know, so what? You were a little crazy. You know, in some businesses, we got to be a little nutty to succeed.
That's right. And Mark, you took the ball and you went forward. And that's what I'm encouraging all of our listeners who may have the idea that they'd like to go into some small business. Go for it. Give it a try. Go for some mentoring. Talk to other businesses. Maybe go to another neighborhood or something and check out what they're doing. But give it a try, because from what I see, the forecast is getting better, and I see more small businesses doing business with other small businesses. And before I say another word, I'm going to have to acknowledge a few of our sponsors. I want to thank them for allowing us to give them so much time available to us for our broadcast on Wednesdays, and acknowledge them. I do acknowledge them every day of the week here on the broadcast and during our Saturday show as well. And I want to thank Leon Mankuski, attorney at law, located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia, and Serena's Auto Body Shop with two locations, one at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, the other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania, and our friends and supporters at Net Cost Market. They're located at 117,001 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. And Mr. Joseph Drabot, National President of the PRCUA, wishes all of you the very best and urges you to support American Made. And also greetings from Michael Steinman, attorney at law with offices in Northeast Philadelphia and Center City, Philadelphia. And for a great smile, remember Dr. Eva Machak has two dental offices, one at 3084 Armingo Avenue, the other at 4250 Richmond Street. And also Dominic Rostutsky. He started his small business too, representing people. He has his office located on the 26th floor of 1835 Market Street in Philadelphia. Give him a call at 215-575-7624. And when you are in Port Richmond, remember another small business that's a supporter of ours is Polka Deli. They're located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue. And when you're traveling, another small business is the Polish American Travel Service at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue, also in Port Richmond. And when you're out shopping, look for Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928. And if you have some banking needs, remember Washington Savings Bank has five locations in Philadelphia to serve you. Another very fine attorney that we have is Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio. You can give her a call if you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. She represents people in those two states. Give her a call at 215-423-4824. And if you need auto, home, or life insurance, remember Karen Janad of State Farm Insurance. Give her a call at 215-862-5490. Also, Dr. Vojimir Zin and the staff at Everest Dental at 9892 Bustleton Avenue in Philadelphia welcome you to give them a call for all of your dental needs. Contact them at 215-671-0188. And also Mr. Frank Spulla, a very, very well-known supporter of our American Made movement, is the national president of the Polish National Alliance, and he encourages you to give them a call at their national number. It's a toll-free number, 1-800-621-3723. They are located in states across America. And I also want to remind all of you to mark your calendar for Wednesday, April the 29th, as the panel of American Workers Radio will be welcoming Mark Andel, who's the founder of the Made in America store, who's also featured in the American Made movie, as he visits Philadelphia. And we'll be joining him as we promote small businesses, National Small Business Weekend, and just get together to have some fun. Now, the public event we're inviting all of you to attend will take place at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, April the 29th. You're invited to come out and see the American Made movie at the Ritz Movie Theater. That's at 214 Walnut Street in historic Philadelphia. And by the way, parking is free on Wednesday evenings from 5 p.m. until midnight. And that's wherever the kiosks are located. And then after the movie. We'll take a walk up the block, and we're going to have a reception at the Polish American Cultural Center. That's at 308 Walnut Street from 7:30 until 8:30, where you'll be able to meet Mark and have some snacks and refreshment. It is all admission free. It's to welcome someone who has been a champion of the American-made movement, and just listening to him, it gives you encouragement to do something positive. Mark, thank you so much for honoring our request to come to Philadelphia. It's going to be interesting. Now, as we get back to the show, as I go around and I talk to people, and people say to me, well, you know, I don't know, how are we going to get all these big buildings back in operation? I said, well, a lot of the big buildings are not going to go in operation, but many smaller manufacturers will be able to open up if people buy more of their stuff. And I asked the people this question. Did the companies that made the products that you were buying in the past, did they go out of business or did they move offshore where they could avoid taxes, paying American workers a livable wage? I ask them, that's the first question I ask. And the answer is, well, I don't know. I guess they did. I mean, there for many years, I never even looked at a label. And that's, what would your reaction be, Mark, if I said to you, did those companies that made those products go out of business or did they move offshore?
Yeah, it's a great question because really, you know, originally, 5-10 years ago, I had some, people ask me and tell me I could take some of my products overseas, and you know, a lot of American companies, American families moved over there to make their millions, and I think they don't realize how they stressed out our system is really what they did too, and we call it a 30-year mistake. But you know, in the last 10-20 years, I mean, a lot of the major companies went over. So I don't know if they really knew what they were doing in the long run, and we just discussed it about how many jobs and manufacturing plants they knocked out. But you know, Mike, I think it's always a problem, you know, but we got to learn from our mistakes and move forward. You know, I'm not sure if all people really knew by buying, you know, more inexpensive products. I always said, inexpensive products are great, but at what costs? Is it the cost of everybody's livelihood? Because now we got a problem. We gotta bring these companies back, and I think it could be done. But like you just said, I don't know if it's going to be in large factories the way they were. I think it's going to be in new technical areas. My engineer just went, and he raises alpacas, and he's got about 30 of them. He just met a lady last week that actually you put your design of the sweater or sweatshirt or hat in the machine, and the machine is a computer CNC, actually knits your shirt within 15 minutes, a full shirt, done. You pull it off, you tie a few knots, and the shirt is done. So that's how you can beat overseas competition and really become successful here, by using technology, automation, your brains and smarts. You know, what do you think of that, Rich? These are things that we can really compete.
Yeah, well, moving, you know, Mark, you just said it, make the millions, right? On one hand, we'll applaud those people, maybe not applaud perhaps, but they took advantage of an opportunity, they were able to do it, and they made money, and in some cases a lot. On one hand, we'd say, great, good for you. On the other hand, though, there's probably a lot of hindsight for some of those companies and businesses saying to themselves now that they realized that it was a stress, that stress that you're talking about. You know, it's hard to I would imagine, guys, that if I were in a position to make millions upon millions upon millions, it's in human nature ease to just go for the money and not think about what the consequences might be afterwards. Well, we didn't have just companies doing that. We had industries. I mean, we had industries that picked up and left, and it's because their success and failure was really more rooted in how they could get tax loopholes and lobbyists and campaign contributions, and so much based on the quality and just the overall quality of their goods. I mean, an average really cheaply made, I don't know, Mark, undershirt or something that you might sell. I mean, I don't think most people get really excited about day-to-day consumable type goods. And when companies realized that they could make a lot of money making those things super cheap, they went for it. They went for it. And just like they're continuing to go for it now. So with all the things that have happened in the past, we can't change that, guys. We know that. But if I were an elected official, and look, all these elected officials that come up with their their plans and this is going to happen, no, they don't know that. Nobody knows if their plan is going to work and what's going to happen. Nobody knows that. What the act of discussion and the act of action needs to be in levels of government, guys, at all levels, needs to be a real, true embracing of how to keep businesses thriving and how to keep new businesses created. Because businesses are going to, even in the best of economies, right, guys, they're going to close up. They're going to close shop. Being in business, perhaps, I would say, I think that everybody, I'd love to see everybody go for it. Was it you, Mark, who one time on the show proposed a public initiative? Was that you who had said that? I'm trying to remember about giving people a year or two to have a business, see if it works. I'm not sure if that was – someone on our show said that one time. I thought that was a pretty interesting idea. Whether it could work or not, we'd have to figure out how to make it work. But
yeah, and I had talked about maybe instead of college for even my boys or what, you know, hey, give them $50,000
right,
and start a business.
That's right. And businesses are going to close up. But the bottom line is that if government and businesses need to have a mutual understanding. But the problem, guys, with this is I'm going to contradict myself. I just feel like with our current climate, the higher up the ladder you go, we're just, despite the fact that the people of America, I believe, are closer in agreement on things than not, it just there's too much of the divisive duopoly at work. There's just the news headlines go to the most extreme sides of both parties, and I'm not going to make this an R or a D thing, but I see that there have been improvements. We can see that economically there have been improvements. Scott Paul, when he was on, he's talking about jobs coming back. We see these things occurring. That's great. But, and just like the cost of manufacturing in China are leveling out with the cost of the United States, that's good news. But we need to make good news great news. If you take the foot off the gas just because those things are happening, we don't think 10, 20, 30 other countries around the world, guys, that 20, 30 years ago had no infrastructure and a bunch of 2-year-olds. Now they got a bunch of 22-year-olds that can work 18-hour days. They built manufacturing infrastructure. They're looking to get a piece of the business that maybe American companies are looking to bring back. And they're pushing. They're selling.
And, Rich,
they're
that's competition,
hard,
right?
You know, guys, I want to say this. My second question to people when they say, well, it's the new world and this and that, I say, well, who do you think is now profiting the products formerly made in America but still being sold in America stores with now foreign labels? And who's benefiting from that? Our workers or someone else's workers? Or at least can we get it back to a 50-50 balance? And they say, then they agree. They say, yes. But people just were blinded by everything was going smooth. Nothing was happening until the bottom fell out, like in 08. That's when the blinders came off and everybody saw the world for what it was really all about. And hopefully, Mark, when you get up here, we'll have an opportunity to talk with some people about maybe even proposing ways. Maybe Larkin can come up with some of his supporters proposing some ideas for new businesses. In other words, what do we need to be made in America right now? What could help someone get into business right now if they have some investors, not only depending on, well, if you have family, friends, and banks behind you, but to give ideas to people as to what things are selling in America, what items are needed in America, and what will help to maintain those jobs long term. This is a challenge I'm sending out to all of our little stores, our big stores, our union friends, our non-union friends, all the self-employed. I'm asking everybody to get behind this movement. Look at the nice publicity that we got last year during the month of November. And we're going to do that again this year. American Made Month. Wow, it was great. Look at all the good publicity that we saw in our local papers here in Philadelphia and in Pennsylvania and other publications we send it out to. It was really nice to see that they saluted veterans, that they highlighted some businesses, some manufacturers. We're going to do that again this coming November. But this is the challenge for everybody who's in business right now. How can you help get more products back on the market? So when our customers walk into a store, they see that American-made item and want to buy it.
And Mike, you know, people got to know, our listeners got to know the power they have. At least ask the question. You know, if they don't have something made in America, ask them, could you get something more made in America? And if they say, why? Well, it matters. I like putting my money where, you know, to create jobs and help our economy. And we suggest supporting the country you live in. Mike, you've always said it, 50-50 fair trade. And I like being open. Vietnamese, Japanese, Canadians, whoever comes to our store, they actually get it more than most of the Americans because they believe in supporting the country they live in. So this is an American thing, and it just makes sense. It's common sense. And I think the more people realize, just them asking them questions, like me, you, and Rich, you know, all of us go out there, and they know us, right? And if you wear my shirt out there, they'll ask you even more questions. You know? But I love the questions. It's good. That's what starts that buzz going. And it's important to keep that alive. World News, Mike, like you always say, they did a great job. We need more of these national media stations really talking about it. And then this election coming up, the big election, I hope they do bring it up. Made in America matters.
Well, I think that we may have to start that push. We want to know what all these candidates really have in the back of their mind when it comes to jobs. It's very nice that we're looking out for the world, but how about looking out for the country?
We don't want lip service. We want action. To me, Made in America store, my store is our action. It's an action plan.
Yes. Gentlemen, as you can see, wow, the clock on the wall ran away. Oh, boy, but it was a great show, and I want to thank Rich Logis and Mark Andel for joining us, and I want you to remember that on the evening of Wednesday, April the 29th, you are invited to Historic Philadelphia. Now, seating is limited. We have hundreds of seats available, but and they are free of charge, and you will be able to access the link on our site next week to sign up for the tickets, which will be free and will be at the door of the theater when you come. And maybe Mark can come earlier to the theater to even welcome some of the guests who will be coming to the show. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, it's time for me to say thank you for tuning in. Thank you for spreading the word. We will have a rebroadcast of today's show on the internet within an hour or so. And do email it around to all of your family members and friends. That's how things have been changing in America. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to people like Rich Logis, Mark Andel, Larkin Connolly, Henry Chaplinsky, and all of the people that are involved in communities spreading the word to support one another. Until we see each other next week here at 11, I wish you and yours the very best.
Have a good week, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
W. Zenya.